Welcome back to Human Emotion. So today we're going to talk about touch. So touch is something that is woven into our daily exchanges with other people. We have pats on the back, handshakes, hands resting on someone's shoulders, playful nudges, and one of my favorite things, hugs. And touch is this funny thing because we do it all the time, but we seem to barely notice it. It just kind of comes and goes in our everyday life. Yet we know that touch plays a profound role on the kinds of feelings and emotions we have. But yet, how precisely does it do it? In what way can touch not only communicate our feelings to other people, but actually being touched by another person change the way that we profoundly feel about the world and about the people around us? So what's in a touch, so to speak? Touch is something that seems not only to be the fabric of our everyday life, but something that is really pervasive in a lot of creative works that we generate. So we have songs, you know, by one of my favorite bands, the Beatles, such as I Want to Hold Your Hand. We also have other songs that are classics perhaps in a different way, by MC Hammer, who said, you know, you can't touch this, right? So we see touch as this topic of many songs and music. We also have entire industries devoted exclusively to touch, so such as this whole massage industry, where people will pay loads of money simply to have someone rub their neck and shoulders, and these sort of luxurious spas centered around this phenomena of touch, right? So really, what is touch about? So I'd like you to think about, in this touch reflection exercise we have here, about a time you can remember feeling touched by someone close to you. And I want you to think about what was going on when this was happening. So what sensations did you have in your body? What kinds of thoughts were going through your mind? What expressions did you have on your face? And did you notice after this touch, maybe it was a hug like you can see here, did you notice any changes in your level of tension or stress? So again, I want you to take out a piece of paper, pause the video for a moment, and write down your thoughts to a time you can remember feeling touched by someone close to you. And when you're done, you can hit play and we'll continue with the course. And I want you to keep this example in your mind throughout the rest of the class today. So today, we're gonna really delve into this idea of touch. And is it some sort of contact high? Do we get this kind of rush of adrenaline and excitement when we are touched by others? Does it bring us close to them? And what does it do for us? We're gonna go through this roadmap today about touching by talking about the function of touch, that it's rewarding for us and that it can actually soothe us and calm our stress levels, that it actually increases cooperation between people, that it helps us communicate our emotions simply by touch without speaking or doing anything else. And we'll conclude with our takeaway questions and our expert interview today. So let's start with the ways in which touch actually feels good for us. So here, we know that touch is actually rewarding for us. And there's a few ways in which it is actually this rewarding. So one of them is that it actually stimulates activity in brain regions, such as the orbital frontal cortex, that has been scientifically demonstrated to be associated with the encoding of reward value. And greater activity in the OFC is associated with people self-reporting, feeling more pleasant, and a sense of reward. So touch actually gets your brain activated to feel good. Related to this, studies have found that when you touch someone on the arm with a velvety cloth, something as simple as that, or a light hairbrush, that it also activates or triggers increases in activity in the orbital frontal cortex as well. So touch is rewarding in a very primitive biological sense, that it activates neural regions that we're sort of built and hardwired with to tell us when something's rewarding or when something feels good. Touch is also soothing, so it helps us sort of decrease stress. It helps us calm down. And in what ways can touch actually be soothing? So as you see here, touch is soothing insofar as it relates to changes in hormones that are related to our sense of stress or our sense of love and connection. So cortisol is something that we've all probably heard of and has been thought of as the stress hormone. So cortisol is associated with increased reports of feeling negative affect as well as feeling stress. By contrast, we have oxytocin, and this has gained a lot of popular media attention and is thought of as the quote love hormone. So it has been associated with feelings of love, trust, and closeness with other people. How does touch relate to cortisol and oxytocin? Well, we actually find that when people underwent a 15-minute Swedish massage, and during the massage they drew blood while receiving this massage, they found that even though you're having blood drawn, by simply going through a 15-minute massage, you see increases in these hormone levels, particularly oxytocin, yet you see a decrease in cortisol. So you see spikes up in a love hormone and spikes down in a stress hormone. Touch is also soothing in other ways. So here we turn to a different brain region called the amygdala. So the amygdala is located deep within the medial temporal lobes of the brain. And activation in this brain region of the amygdala is associated with stress and negative emotional responses. Again, let's look at a study here that was associated with touch between two people. So this is one of my favorite studies done by Jim Cohn, who looked at individuals who were awaiting electric shock while they were in an fMRI scanner. So the participants were 16 married women who came to the scanner, and in the scanner they were in one of three conditions. They were alone by themselves, all lonesome in the scanner. They had a stranger holding their hand while they were in the scanner, and they had, or they had their husband holding their hand in the scanner. And what they actually found is that having someone hold your hand decreased your activity in the amygdala more so than having no one hold your hand. So the having someone literally hold your hand decreases activity in this brain region associated with emotional arousal and sometimes stress. And this was particularly the case for someone close to you. So the husband hand-holding was the one that was associated with the least amygdala reactivity compared to all conditions. So when we think of the Beatles song we talked about at the beginning of today, if I want to hold your hand, well, there's a lot of good reasons to hold someone's hand. It actually decreases your stress response to a variety of things in the scanner when you're receiving an electric shock, and you can imagine in everyday life too, helping you sort of combat and overcome daily life stressors. Okay, so we also see in infants that touch actually helps them overcome this very painful procedure. So when infants are young, they do this extremely painful procedure for sampling blood. So the infants, while they sort of cut their foot in a way to get this blood sample, they studied this by having infants who were either held or touched by their mother during this procedure versus those who were not held or touched by their mother. And they found that infants who were touched by their mother cried 62% less. They showed a decrease in the amount of grimacing in their face by 65%, and they also exhibited a lower heart rate during this procedure. So touch also leads to better pain toleration, even in extremely young infants. So now we're going to turn to the way in which touch also increases cooperation. So here we find, fascinatingly, a study that demonstrated how touch promotes bonding and cooperation in groups. So in this study, participants were asked to sign a petition supporting a local issue. Those who were touched by the person asking them to sign the petition had a higher rate in which they actually signed on. So 81% of people signed the petition who were touched versus 55% who signed it when they weren't touched. Another study looked at cooperation, having people play what's called the prisoner's dilemma game. And in this game, they can either cooperate or compete with a fellow player. And the experimenter who, in the condition, the experimenter either touched them on the back or didn't before the game started. And those participants were actually just simply touched on the back. That's it. Just a little touch on the back by the experimenter. Somehow that profoundly translated into cooperating more on a completely unrelated game. There's also been additional work on trust and cooperation by Dacher Keltner, who's looked at touch among NBA basketball players and finding that basketball players who actually touch each other more, sort of pats on the back, things of that sort, actually tend to show better performance in a competitive game situation. So touch seems to increase and foster cooperation among groups of people working towards a common goal, as well as cooperation with unknown people. So playing a game with someone you don't know that you can cooperate or compete with, or signing a petition with someone you don't know. So touch is sort of the fabric that brings us together as a society and helps us cooperate. It's pretty amazing what powerful things touch can do. Finally, I want to talk with you about some really fun research that shows that just simply touching someone's forearm, just like this, that you can reliably communicate distinct emotions. Wild, right? That without telling you how I'm feeling, I can pat your arm or do a different variety of gestures, and you'll be able to pick up on what emotion I'm signaling to you. So this is a study that gained widespread attention. You can see in the New York Times where they say a simple 5-second touch can convey specific emotions. So I'll show you what this study looked like. So here's the testing room. So in this testing room, there were two strangers who were asked to sit down in the room across from each other. And as they sat down, there was a black curtain that was drawn in between them so that they couldn't see each other, but there was an opening here where they could slip their arm under. So one of the participants, who was the touchee, was asked to extend his arm under the curtain so that all this person could see was the arm of the touchee. Then this second person, referred to as the toucher, was asked to think about how you want to communicate the emotions. The touches can take any form and last as long as you think they need to. Try to be expressive and as possible in your touch. So, what happened is that the toucher was asked to, one person put their arm under the curtain, who was the toucher, and then the touchy was asked to sort of rate what emotion is this person expressing. So in other words, it's two strangers sitting across from one another, separated by a black curtain, and the encoder, so to speak, touches the arm of the decoder to express an emotion. So one person puts their arm under the curtain, and the other person sees the arm and has to try to guess what that person is trying to convey. Right? So when they're asked simply by looking at the arm and someone touching it, what emotion were they trying to convey, you find powerful results that people are able to not only convey an emotion through a touch, but also pick up what that emotion is when another person is simply touching their forearm. And so what you find is people were given a variety of emotions to convey, and also to try to perceive. So these included negative emotions like anger, fear, disgust, and sadness, as well as more complex positive emotions like love, gratitude, and awe. And what did we find? Really quite fascinating. So when they were asked to select which emotion was being expressed by the touch, and they had a list of different emotions, anger, fear, disgust, love, sympathy, gratitude, embarrassment, pride, envy, etc., when this person was asked to say what was even being expressed, they were able to profoundly and reliably find touch to communicate distinct emotions. So touch communicates at least 6 emotions, including anger, fear, disgust, love, sympathy, and gratitude. And often some of the behavioral profiles you see associated with these touches are as follows. So people would communicate touch on the forearm by kind of doing a trembling movement on the forearm. Or they would communicate love by simply gently stroking the forearm of the other person. Or gratitude by shaking their hand. So we can convey emotions like gratitude simply by touching someone's forearm, if you can believe that. At the same time, it doesn't communicate all emotions, so touching the forearm alone couldn't communicate more cognitive, complex, self-focused emotions like embarrassment, envy, or pride. But my God, like the fact that we can communicate touch simply by contacting another person's arm without seeing anything in their face, without hearing any vocalizations, is a profound example of the role of touch in communicating, you know, our everyday sentiments and feelings. We've also found in our own work, when we've looked at touch and sort of clinical or emotional disorders, that not all touches are alike. So in work with some of my colleagues, Paul Piff, Dacher Keltner, and Amanda Purcell, we wanted to understand whether people who are characterized by heightened positive emotionality, so this is a clinical phenomenon of mania, whether they perceived touches using the same paradigm in the same way, or whether people diagnosed or prone to emotional difficulties actually perceive touches differently. And what we found is that people who have a history of mania or maybe prone to experiencing mania almost have these kind of rose-colored glasses in the way that they perceive touches from another person. So they are more likely to experience emotions conveyed by the touches as positive, and they were less likely to experience negative touches as negative. So they felt more positive across all touches and less negative across all touches. And they were more likely to attribute sort of positive emotion even to negative touches like anger or fear. So although touch reliably communicates emotions across most people, we also want to think about the role of individual differences of people with a history of mania, depression, and anxiety, for whom communicating emotion via touch may be slightly altered or different. And this is something we'll return to when we get to the module later in the course, where we talk about emotion and psychopathology. And with that, I want to turn now to our takeaway questions. So from today, I want you to think about a few different things. So first, how can touch actually be a source of pleasure or reward? How can it feel good for us? And likewise, how can touch actually provide soothing comfort in response to stress? Second, how might touch actually increase cooperation? So provide an empirical example of several that we spoke about in class. And then finally, which specific emotions is touch most effective in communicating to other people? Simply by doing a gentle touch on the forearm, what emotions can we signal to other people around us? And I want to conclude as usual with our expert interview. And this is part of the Experts in Emotion interview series. So for this module of the course, our Experts in Emotion interview today will be with Dr. Matthew Hertzenstein. He received his PhD from the University of California, Berkeley, and he's currently an associate professor of psychology at DePauw Powell University, where he directs the Touch and Emotion Laboratory. So his research is conducted with students in three areas, including touch and the communication of emotion, as well as the prediction of emotion and emotion in infants. His work has received widespread media coverage, including NPR, The New York Times, ABC News, BBC, Scientific American Mind, and Psychology Today. So I now turn to our Experts in Emotion interview with Dr. Matthew Hertzenstein.